Our next public hearing is change of zone number 1670, Nantigo Properties LLC.
This is an application to amend comprehensive zoning map from a MR RPC medium density residential district, residential planning community, to a CR1 commercial residential district for a certain parcel of land lying and being in Indian River 100, Sussex County. The land lying southeast of Route 24, approximately 2,500 feet westerly of Route 5 and Road 297, also known as Oak Orchard Road, to be located on 19.541 acres, more or less. For the benefit of those in the audience, the applicant submitted on February 1st of 2010 an exhibit booklet, typically spiral bound. My copy is not, because I have to keep it in the folder. And that is a part of the record. The applicant also submitted a series of maps to be used as on the exhibit boards titled Nantigo, and it shows the site plan for the proposed project and the existing RPC conversion. There's also one that shows the approved C1 and the MR RPC zoning that presently has been approved, and also a copy of an aerial map overlaid with commercial zoning showing the zone commercial and other business institutional uses in the general area. It has also been provided to the commission and is a part of the record. I received two agency comments. There was also a description provided for the commission, a report from Kevin Barrett, principal of KLNB Retail Commercial Real Estate Services. That was dated February 1st of 2010. It was also provided. The two agency comments are the Sussex Conservation District and dated January 26th of 2010. We're advised that there are two soil types on this application, that the applicant will be required to follow recommended erosion and sediment control practices during construction and to maintain vegetation after construction. There are no storm flood hazard areas affected and no tax ditches affected, that it may be possible that off-site drainage improvements will be required and that on-site drainage improvements will be required. And lastly, from the Sussex County Engineering Department Utility Planning Division, we received a memo on March 23rd of 2010 referencing this application. The site is located in the Oak Orchard Sanitary Sewer District. Wastewater capacity is available for up to 4 EDUs per acre. Ordinance 38 construction will be required. The current system connection charge rate is $3,352 per equivalent dwelling unit. The project is located in the expansion number one area of the Oak Orchard Sanitary Sewer District. Sewer service is not available to the parcel at this time. Regional infrastructure will have to be installed by the developer and Sussex County in order to receive sewer service. Conformity to the North Coastal Planning Study and Oak Orchard Expansion Area Number 1 Facilities Plan will be required. In additional comments, it's noted that the project is in the environmentally sensitive developing area and Expansion Number 1 area of the Oak Orchard Sanitary Sewer District. The county will serve a portion of the area during future sewer construction. Pipeline layouts have been identified to serve the project. The developer has agreed to build regional sewer infrastructure that will serve the project and benefit several existing communities. Regional infrastructure to be built by the developer includes a pump station and segment of a new force main to the treatment plant. In addition, the developer has agreed to fund a proportionate portion of a new force main to be constructed by the county in order to serve the project and other areas. The engineering department supports the project so long as it connects to the Oak Orchard Sanitary Sewer District and the total project does not exceed 4 EDUs per acre based on a total project size of 106.8 acres. County requires design and construction of the collection and transmission system to meet county SOAR standards and specifications. A SOAR concept plan must be submitted to the County Engineering Department for review and approval prior to the design of the SOAR system, and they also provided a checklist. A concept plan will be required. And that was signed by John Ashman, Director of Utility Planning, and attached was a checklist for preparing concept plan drawings. And I believe that's all I have, gentlemen. Let's have questions.
All right, sir, we thank you. Before we get started, if there's anyone here that has an interest in this application, there are exhibit boards on both sides. You certainly can't see them from where you're sitting, so please feel free to get up. Come take a closer look if you like. We just ask that you do it quietly. Thank you. And the chair recognizes Mr. Schrader. And may I remind you that the last two public hearings took a combined total of about 10 minutes. Just thought I'd mention that.
Did you mention there was no attorneys involved?
That was self-evident.
Oh, okay. And I'd like to mention that WVU plays Washington at 7:27 p.m. with a tip-off, and I know Mr. Robertson has a great interest in that basketball game, and I respectfully will try to make that schedule for him.
I think that would be appreciated by all present.
Thank you. Gentlemen, my name is Dennis Schrader. This matter is change of zone application number 1670, previously scheduled for February 11th. But snowed out, and so we're here to make up for that application. I have with me Mark Handler, who is a principal of the applicant company, Nintego Properties, LLC. I also have Scott Asia with me, who's the vice president and professional engineer with McCrone Engineering, and DJ Hughes from Davis Bone and Friedel, who is a traffic engineer that's worked on this project. Briefly, you know that this project has been before you before. That was in 2007 when we brought it in for a combined commercial and RPC project. And portions of the project as it currently exists were approved by you and the County Council as a RPC with a C1 component, and get the other board up. The C1 component is the portion which appears in the upper left-hand part of this particular plan. And the rest of it was an RPC project. As the project moved forward, it became clear to the owners and developers that they would be better served to try to expand the commercial and reduce the residential. So what we have here is a commercial application that will change the dynamic of this site only as to 15 acres in the bottom right hand of that particular plot, and will add the project 3.68 acres in area, which relate to expanding the project enough to in order to allow for interconnectivity required by DelDOT. We have two sites, 15.73, which is the proposed site here, and the 3.68, which is here. The result will be that it will increase commercial, reduce the RPC project. The RPC reductions will have to be brought to you at a later date because there have been some changes in the configuration, and the topography has changed also because a site previously reserved for a wastewater treatment plant is no longer necessary because we were able to get into the Oak Orchard Sanitary Sewer District expansion. The proposed classification for this site is CR1. We're looking to have a general retail process. The comprehensive plan has us in a low-density, environmentally sensitive developing area with a state strategies map level 2, and we are immediately adjacent to a highway commercial area as shown on the plots. We have submitted to you an exhibit booklet that contains things that you would normally expect to see. They include the updated TIS, they include the PLUS application, the PLUS response, they include other matters that you would expect to see, including a proposed finding of fact, should you benefit us with a favorable vote. And the last two things I would point out to you are that there are no delineated wetlands
on this site, and that the Tidewater Utilities will provide this site with a water application. As Lawrence has pointed out to you, we have three boards up here, and we have provided each of you with reduced versions of those three boards for ease of use by you. With those thoughts in mind, I'm going to invite Mr. Asia up, who will give you a engineer's look at this particular project.
Good evening to all. I'm Scott Asia, and I'm here representing it from an engineering perspective on the project. A couple of the details from an engineering perspective I want to go over with you and fill in the blank a little bit more as far as what's going on with the project. Again, we want to focus tonight on the 19.54 acres. And the 19.54 acres will be taken away from the MRRPC and put into the CR1. Dennis, I can actually point to that.
While you're waiting for your stagehand there, would you mind, I'm looking very quickly, and I know they may be in here, but just if you would state your qualifications briefly.
Sure. I'm a professional engineer in the states of Maryland and Delaware. And I guess that's all
that's good enough. Thank you.
Okay. Again, the areas are here. There's your 15.58 acres, and we added the 3.68 acres, which came out as a result of a comment through the PLUS process, where DLDOT was asking for interconnectivity up to Oak Orchard road that's up there, and that way the residents who live back in Oak Orchard do not have to go out on 24 to access this commercial center. Again, it keeps traffic down and makes it more convenient to the residents. As far as property is concerned, again, I want to emphasize that the lands are from the Davis Farm Limited Partnership, the 3.68 acres, and then the 15 acres is with the William and Joan Norwood. So those are the current property owners for that. As far as the CR1 is concerned, even before that, I want to briefly talk about the site itself. And we are in compliance with your zoning regulations. As a matter of fact, we even exceed it to a certain extent. You have a 60-foot front setback. We meet that. As a matter of fact, Mr. Hughes will probably speak in a moment, but in regard to DLDOT, they wanted a multimodal path along here, and so the right-of-way is widened to provide that, and then there's a 60-foot setback. On the sides, for CR1, it's only required to have a 5-foot side setback, and with respect to other properties and to provide room for real landscaping, we provided 30-foot on the side, on this side, and there's 50-foot easements across the back here for landscaping. Again, we're exceeding requirements only 5 feet. So we've met all the criteria as far as zoning. As far as parking is concerned, we exceed the parking that's required. We have only, this is a representation only of buildings. These are not the actual buildings that would go in here. So you've got 275,000 square foot buildings shown here. And there would be a subdivision line in there. We recognize that in the future. So that would be in place. As far as CR1 is concerned, the purpose of it being to generally serve the neighborhoods which are nearby, this certainly accomplishes that. Uses in CR1, It's also allowed to have everything that's in a B1, so anywhere from banks, bicycles, barbershops, clinics, dry cleaning, flowers, restaurants, clothing stores, to sporting goods, hardware, hobbies, and clinics, those types of things, all B1. And then CR1 that adds to that, that would be allowed to be things such as theaters, bowling alleys, auto repair, boat trailer sales, car wash, hotels, motels, building materials, printers, training schools, car and truck sales. Again, limited square footage of the floor area to 75,000 square feet. And in CR1, they're very specific about keeping dust, odors, and noise limits down in those areas. So we meet all those things. We're not asking for any accessory uses, conditional, or special exceptions in regard to that. And we're meeting the height, area, bulk requirements, as I mentioned before. As far as Plus is concerned, we have been to them a couple of times. The thing of most significance, again, is DelDOT that came out of that in regard to providing that access to the community. And I should describe that in a little bit more detail.
If you'll notice, this area right here is that access that we're talking about. It creates a four-way intersection here. Which is better for traffic. And that quarter will actually end up being along there for that. In order to accommodate that, we need to be able to have this additional space to provide what DelDOT wanted. So that's why it's there.
As far as the environmentally sensitive development district overlay, that's an important issue to bring up. To show that we're complying with those items, and we are. Most importantly, probably water quality in the inland bays, and we do intend to meet those water quality standards through our storm drain networks, and we have wet ponds, and we're going to have other items in there that will take care of the sediment, nutrients, and floatables. There'll be basins, wet ponds, grass swales. We'll meet the TMDL 40% reduction. Also, there will be opportunities for bioretention, biofilters, those kinds of things as necessary during final engineering. They will be formulated. And that's most of our pollution control strategy for the site. Other items. Again, potable water, we mentioned that. It's TY will be providing potable water, sewer, of course, the county, Oak Orchard Sanitary District. We'll be providing pump station and force mains for that, at least in part. The proposed development will have safe and efficient vehicular access. DelDOT worked very well with us. Putting that together, and DJ Hughes will take a look at that in a minute with you. Rare threatened endangered species, there were none on the site. We had a Hickory Environmental go on out there and take a look at it. There are no tidal, non-tidal wetlands on the site. There is a open space management plan in the booklet that you all have. Has some details about how to take care of that and long-term care. And as far as the working within the community, there are pathways in there to access the commercial from the MRRPC portions that'll take you to the center between the two centers there. And so you have that connectivity in there along with the other site amenities as it remained in the MR portion, which I'm not going to go into really because that's previously approved. I I guess the last thing I want to leave you with is what's the net impact going to be on the Nantego RPC? There will be a reduction in the number of residential units in the RPC as a result of this. The exact number will be calculated and the plan adjusted accordingly as soon as this CR1 rezoning that we're talking about today has been acted upon, then we'll know which direction to go with that. So we'd be back in regard to answering any of those questions. Dennis?
Thank you, Scott. Gentlemen, I'd like to introduce DJ Hughes from Davis Bowden Friedle, who's a traffic engineer who worked on this project and who will briefly discuss the impacts of traffic from the resultant project.
Thank you, Dennis. As Dennis said, I'm DJ Hughes. I'm a professional engineer with Davis Bowden Friedle. Scott touched on the interconnectivity with the access road between the subject rezoning and then Nantego site and the Riverside Plaza. That was requested by DelDOT, and Riverside Plaza is a commercial development that's adjacent just to the east or northeast, I guess, if you will. And as a result of that request, the developers, the specific request was to have a road that was generally parallel to Route 24 interconnecting the Riverside. And as a result, they redesigned the site to allow for a smoother interconnection between the two sites. And as a result of that redesign, that's why the additional 3.68 acres was added. But it is important to note that even though it's added to the commercial rezoning, it's not increasing any of the building sizes. The building size remains the same. So it's not adding any more traffic from that standpoint. And the interconnection will allow vehicles from Riverside Plaza to traverse back and forth between Nantego Farms and vice versa. And it will also allow vehicles from Nantego to travel through Riverside Plaza to access Oak Orchard Road, which will not have any impacts on Route 24. And it will allow vehicles from Riverside to access our site access to get to 24 without impacting Oak Orchard Road. So that's a very positive thing, and we have complied with all DelDOT's requirements there. And as was stated before, I believe by Dennis, we did do a TIS. I did the TIS submitted to DelDOT, and it was reviewed by them. They responded and required improvements for the site, and we have agreed to all those improvements. And a couple things of note in their letter is that basically, the impact of rezoning to commercial from the RPC does not have any negative impacts on 24. And DelDOT did point out that the proposed development is generally complies with the policy stated in 2004 update of Livable Delaware. And they also noted that the proposed development appears to be compatible with Sussex County comp plan. And I believe, unless anybody has any questions, I'll just keep it short and sweet.
All right, sir. We'll save our questions for the end of Mr. Schrader's presentation.
Thank you. Yeah. Gentlemen, I would like to remind you that we did submit to you a report from KLNB, the real estate agents, who described favorably the prospective use of this property as a potential site for commercial activities on Route 24. In summary, the salient points that are here for your consideration is that there was no objection to this application by PLUS. DelDOT has encouraged this application by requesting and encouraging the applicant to go forward with the additional 3.68 acres for interconnectivity. There's water and sewer available. This site is adjacent to already existing commercial activities identified as the HSA in your comprehensive plan. This project will reduce the impact of the RPC. There will be a service road which will keep traffic or minimize or at least marginalize traffic onto this site so that the sites, the interconnectivity between the commercial sites will run on the service road, not on Route 24. There were some other things that are contained in our file that include open space management, endangered species reports that were prepared in connection with the prior application, and those all remain in effect as they currently exist. The site is currently agriculture. It is a developing area, albeit slower than it was 2 years ago. But I think that's the general nature of the beast. We have provided to you findings of fact for your use as a matrix from which to work if you favor us with your approval. Mr. Asia, Mr. Hughes, and Mr. Handler and I are all available to answer any questions that Mr. Johnson or any of you may have of us.
All right, sir, we thank you. We'll see if anyone has any questions, and we will begin with Mr. Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Schrader, could you tell me if the Riverside does in fact have connection to Oak Orchard Road? My memory fails me.
I don't think it does Riverside?
Yeah. Sorry. Riverside Plaza does have an access on Oak Orchard Road. It is deeper than, right here is where we interconnect to them. If this were Oak Orchard Road up here, they reach Oak Orchard Road farther back away from 24 than the interconnection is. But they do.
But it will interconnect with where you're showing your road. Thank you.
Yeah. Basically, right, I believe this is the actual access right here for Riverside Plaza, and that's Oak Orchard Road right here. So the vehicles will be to travel amongst these properties all the way from the western property line all the way to Oak Orchard Road. So if you're coming out of Oak Orchard Road and you want to go to Nantego or Riverside, you may come in this access without impacting Route 24.
Can I expand upon that? Is that entrance between, looking at your map, entrance between the Indian Museum and the Boys and Girls Club?
Yes, I believe it is.
Okay. Thanks.
And Mr. Schrader, I noticed in the plus comments when they were talking about interconnectivity, there was talking about a connection to another road. And that's your response to that is what? That's probably section 18.
And it's this road, I believe.
Well, there's Tom. Let me find that section. If I those new stickers I have don't stick. So
if you need more sticky, sir, I'll be glad to help you.
Thank you. It was on here. It is on. There's no page. Anyhow, in the Dell Dot comments, they talked about recommending connectivity to the Leighton Davis Road.
Right. Two things. One of them is we don't own the property that would allow us to connect to Leighton Davis, but there is vacant land in here that could be used at some point if the land were acquired.
So is there some provision in this project to provide a stub road that would be able to interconnect with that should you purchase the adjoining property?
This time, there's several different access points that could be used, and we just don't know where that would be at this time.
But in your final design, you would provide a stub?
Well, it will be, if I can interject, it will be reviewed by DelDOT through the entrance permitting process. As I think most of us know, DelDOT is not shy when they review plans, so I'm sure they will require us to connect to a property that has a chance to get to Leighton Davis Road, but since we don't own the land between Leighton Davis Road and our western boundary, we can't make the direct connection. But we can provide a stub to a property that, if it redevelops, would have the potential to make it to Leighton Davis Road.
Okay. And Mr. Abbott, have we gotten the plus response to the applicant's response?
I don't have the file.
I got the file.
And while he's searching for that, could you summarize this for me? I thought I heard someone say, and it might have been this gentleman here, that you're going to increase the amount of commercial space, but I haven't heard about any reduction in the number of housing units in the remainder of the RPC. So am I being forewarned that you may jam in more houses and that remainder land, Mr. Schrader?
No, you're not being forewarned that we're going to do that, but the answer goes like this. If we take 18 acres or 19 acres out of the RPC, we lose 19 acres worth of density that was used to calculate the total number of units that went into the RPC. My recollection was that it was 311. We have a rough idea of what that number may be, and I'll let Scott answer that part of it. But there were two parts to it. One of them is we are taking portions out of the RPC, which will reduce the number of units that will become available for the total number of units in the RPC. And the second point was, I don't know if you remember from the prior application, but this area was being reserved
for the sewer treatment.
For the sewer treatment plant. Now we're showing it as a stormwater management pond. So we give up a little, we get a little, we give up a little, we get a little, and we know that we're going to lose a precise number. Scott has calculated roughly 20, maybe more.
Depends on the layout of the roads and the area of the roads that we subtract out to end up with our net.
So provided if the commission votes favorably on this, we're going to be seeing a new proposal for the remainder of the RPC.
We better redesign it.
But I'm not being forewarned you're going to be asking for more jamming those other units in there.
I hope not.
Mr. Johnson, in response to your question about the response to the response.
Yep.
Okay. We did receive responses dated February 3rd, 2010. And I'll go to the second, makes reference to the application, the zoning, the size of the commercial development. Makes reference that it's in a level two area according to the strategies. While the state did not object to the rezoning of this property, we did request that the owner work with the county to address her concerns regarding sewer and potential impact to the surrounding Long Neck area. It appeared after reviewing the letter that the developer is working with the county regarding their concerns as well as addressing the concerns of the state. Signed sincerely, Compton Tom.
Okay.
That's your final response.
Thank you. But in essence, you're pulling that ground out of, I'm back to summarizing what I understand is going on here. You're pulling that acreage out of the RPC in order to have a separate commercial development.
Yes.
That's not a part of the RPC.
That is correct.
So this would no longer be considered part of the RPC.
And it would reduce the size of the RPC by 18 point, whatever that
acreage amounts to.
Yes.
Okay. And is this a separate, is this going to be developed separately from the parcel to the, whatever that is, northeast, whatever?
The light
purple versus the dark.
I think my client would love to be able to develop it all at once, but realistically, this company won't support that, and I'm not sure which part. Mark, which part would you favor to develop first?
You have to come up to the podium if you're going to speak, sir. Thanks.
My name is Mark Handler, and I'm a principal in the Intego development. I think it's going to be mostly market-driven. Who knows what today's market is versus what it's going to be. I would imagine that we would develop one parcel at a time, based on the way we foresee the market in the upcoming future.
And the Intego development will have use that same entrance off of 24 to...
You're speaking of this entrance, Mr. Johnson?
Yes.
Yes, it's still remains.
Okay, and who's going to be responsible for maintaining that entrance and the entrance road? Will that be the commercial property owners, or is that going to be the RPC?
Set it up. I'm not sure that I recall how we set it up 2 years ago, but I would imagine that a portion of it will be paid for by the Homeowners Association, but not all of it. There is some portion of that you have to say is the entrance to... And they should be contributing some proportionate share of the usage for the maintenance of that.
Right, because you're likely to generate more traffic for the commercial property than you would for the housing. Or so the commercial people in the commercial units would hope in terms of the traffic.
Okay. What we hope is all the RPC people go to that commercial.
Right, walk.
Site,
walk there.
Never leave.
And walk there on your nice sidewalks that are going to be interconnected.
Three sidewalks on each side and in the middle.
Boy, that's a new one. I'll have to write that one down for requirements. I have no further questions at this time, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, sir. Mr. Burton.
In questioning the service road, is it really going to be a service road or just a kind of a parking lot? get to the other side type of
thing. Well, that may be terminology, but it's not technically a service road. It's called an access road. But
DLDOT, basically, before, the reason this was redesigned before, you would have had to come up and drive in front of the stores where people would walk in between the parking aisles and the stores. So obviously that was a safety concern. So that's why this aisle was created here between the landscaping and comes out over here, and that's why all this had to be shifted back. So it's not a service road per se. I would call it more of an access road, and then it will continue over through Riverside's. Now, obviously, we don't have control of what happens once it's on Riverside's site.
You would see that as a separate landscaped area that the cars would travel in between.
With no parking.
With no parking.
Yes, correct. There's no parking. And the reason I say it's not a service road, because technically if it was a service road, I don't believe you would see the parking aisles accessing the service road. You would probably have maybe one or two points where the parking aisles access because it's a service road. But that's why it's an access road, and it's a vast improvement over, you know, the interconnection that was there before. That's why they did the redesign.
And just to go back to your three sidewalks, there will be an ability to for pedestrian access to get out of there into the
yes,
property.
Yes.
And you mentioned that the buildings were 75,000 square feet apiece.
As we're showing them now, they're 75,000 square feet each.
Would that be the maximum amount?
That would be the maximum. Again, we have to come back for site plan. And.
But on that acreage, that's about what you can.
And given that zoning and that acreage, that is where we're going. That's the max.
And the six triggers big box calculations if you right. start getting more than that.
And you mentioned the 60-foot buffer on the front of this. That is the same buffer that's on the light purple, correct, in the front. You said there was a 60-foot setback across John Williams Highway on.
Talking about like here? And
yes.
Yes.
So it would be the same setback all the way across.
Okay. Mr. Burton, just to keep in mind on that, both of those are CR1, so the fact that it shows up here isn't the end of the issue. I mean, like you've heard me say before, if they get the rezoning, they can do any of the commercial uses and come back with any kind of site plan they want. So that's actually going to be shown on the final site plan that comes into the county at some point for the actual use that they propose to construct on that CR1 zone.
So an access road would be part of that because of DLDOT's requirements?
Yes. Well, yeah, DLDOT's requirements are going to, you know, carry all the way through. But the buffers and things like that we're talking about, that's going to be more an issue of the site plan that they bring in for the use.
And okay. maybe
the big
we'll
box
remember
regulation
that.
Hits this site anyway because there's two buildings. They've already, it says building or buildings yeah. exceeding 75,000 square feet, so it's got to comply with a big box.
I think that's why one of these gentlemen talked about a subdivision.
Yeah, I heard that part too. I just want to see how they do it.
Yeah.
It's in the making.
I have no further questions.
Okay. Mr. Smith. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you, Mr. Robertson, for adding that. That took a couple questions off that I had. I do have a question, though. And it's been nice having this exhibit book since, I guess, the Super Bowl. Tidewater Utilities, Wellhead Protection Area. Do you have have you had conversations with them? Is there a strategy or a memorandum of understanding? How do you address?
Not yet, but yes, Tidewater does have a wellhead protection area. Tidewater will be providing us with potable water. There is the potential, of course, as you would expect, for stormwater management problems to arise on this site. The general flow is from Route 24. Actually, I probably should let Scott do this, but I'll take a chance at it. The drainage flow is in that direction. There is an easement and the normal courses for that water to flow, the stormwater to flow away from the wellhead protection area rather than towards the wellhead protection area. Scott, you want to elaborate on that, or have I generally gotten it right?
Correct. And there is. They're located right about here, and there is a wellhead protection area as shown in those documents. That wellhead protection area, you'll notice there was a small stand of trees in here. We've let it go to forest now in this plan. When we come back to readjust these units and reduce a couple units, we'll reduce them in this area, which is closer to the well area, and provide the area that's required of impervious or an infiltration areas that, you know, that right balance that's required in the regulation.
Okay. Thank you. Realizing this is a concept and you don't have your stormwater management ponds correctly cited, but if they are in that area, I'm curious, does the possibly approved CR1, the parking lot and all, does that contribute to the stormwater that would flow into the ponds of the MRRPC?
Absolutely, yes.
Absolutely. Yes. Do they then share in the open space management budget of the MRRPC insofar as any ongoing maintenance of those stormwater facilities?
Yes.
The answer is yes. That's all.
Can I follow up with Mr. Smith's question before I forget? It appears as though, then, from what you were just saying, Mr. Smith, and their response, that neither of the commercial properties are going to handle their own water.
Stormwater management, once we get into the detailed engineering, and again, I should let Scott do this, but once the detailed engineering takes place, there may be some facilities on site. There were planned, what is it called? I want to call them subterranean. You describe it.
There's a couple things. First of all, the clear rainwater will probably be collected and put in some kind of infiltration in this area because of groundwater recharge, and they like to take roof water and then recharge the groundwater near that protection area. So that's fine, because that's not taking any of the oils or anything off the parking lot. As far as the parking lot water, that'll probably be collected, and it'll be run through swales and open graded areas, recollected, so you get your first initial treatment, and then it's going to be, these ponds are all chained together, so it's getting additional treatment as it's going through the ponds and then out the final pond. So there's multiple stages of treatment that are going to take place.
But these two commercial projects are being developed, or this commercial property is being developed separate from the MRRPC?
Yes.
Because you're removing that one, that acreage from the MRRPC, but yet your plan is to have your water handled somewhere else, not on your own property.
Well, we can do that because we are one owner of all the tract, and we can make the necessary contractual arrangements between the ownership of the Homeowners Association and the Nintego RPC and the various entities that may or may not own the commercial sites.
So until the MRRPC gets developed, if the commercial goes first, which obviously is your intention probably, what's going to happen to the stormwater management in the meantime?
Stormwater management will have to be accommodated in order to get the site built and the site plan approved and the bonds issued and what have you for construction, and then that will have to be incorporated into the RPC plan in order to make sure that they're not inconsistent or in conflict with each other.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Okay. Mr. Ross.
I just want to understand the square footage of the commercial square footage. Is it big box or is it not?
It is not.
Well, as it stands right now.
It would be if you approved, as you approve it, at 19 acres plus or minus, the limitation is 75,000 square feet. As drawn, it shows two 75,000 square feet building on there. And as the ordinance states, it is the cumulative effect of all structures that must equal to or be less than 75,000 square feet. However, if the site were subdivided and it were approved by this commission, it is possible to have, it depends on what the site sizes are, but theoretically you could have two 75,000 square foot sites. As this was contemplated when it was filed a couple years ago, that was the thinking, that there would be two tracks and there would be two 75,000 square feet building. Things have changed. I can't tell you for sure that would necessarily be the case in the future, but if it were that, then we'd be back.
And am I, Lawrence, am I right in thinking that big box ordinance requires arterial road frontage? Is that correct?
It requires quite a bit of additional requirements over and above a standard site plan. Okay. Without going into the detail of the ordinance, but it is in the ordinance.
But if it gets parceled out, then you can circumvent the big box parcels.
We should have to approve the subdivision of the parcel to be able to submit the lesser buildings.
Okay.
Or parcels. But that's not my turn yet. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No,
other subject.
No, it's the same subject. I'm just concerned about
whether it's going to get danced around.
Yeah, I'm not so sure that that's. I'm not so sure that fulfills the intent of the ordinance or guidelines.
Well, at this point, it's actually the subject of another hearing.
Yeah.
At this point.
But I mean, the applicant is indicating that this is a real possibility, and I think,
they can ask for anything.
They can, but I think we should also give them an inclination that it may not go as smoothly as might be desired.
I think it's been noted.
That's all my questions, Mr. Chairman.
I know Mr. Johnson heard that.
I
understand what I'm saying. I understand,
Mr. Ross. Mm-hmm.
Mr. Lang. Just curiosity, because I don't remember the specifics of the original rezoning for the C1 site. What was the square footage intended on the C1 site?
Boy, I don't remember ones.
About the same?
It's the same.
That's what I thought it was. That's all I have.
Okay, Mr. Abbott. No questions. Council? Questions?
I just have one. I'd like to traffic engineer, for the record, I would like you to compare what you believe the impact of the traffic from this site plan will be compared to the one that was approved previously.
Well, the one that was approved previously obviously has a little... Or it has less traffic. Off the top of my head, I don't know the numbers, but we addressed that in the TIS that was submitted to DLDOT. That we did an original TIS that addressed the original RPC. Then subsequent to that, there was 25,000 square feet of commercial that was added to bring the total up to 150, and they deemed that not to warrant a TIS. Okay. When we came in with the additional 150,000 square feet, which we're here for now, it did reduce the residential portion some, and we analyzed the effects of that, and that's what the DLDOT TIS letter is based upon now. So our improvements that are recommended now are based upon this entire site. So yes, it is more traffic in one sense, but it's still being accommodated by the improvements. And the other thing is, when you add commercial, there's already people in the Oak Orchard area that are using commercial services, and presumably they're having to go outside of the Oak Orchard area, maybe to Millsboro or Long Neck or maybe even to Route 1. So in that respect, this is, keeping Oak Orchard more self-contained and providing services for those residents so they don't have to travel those distances.
All right, sir. Thank you.
Thank you.
And thank all of you.
Thank you.
Seat nearby. We'll see if anyone here has an interest in your application. Is there anyone here that would like to speak in favor of change of zone number 1670, Nantego Properties, LLC? Is there anyone here that would like to speak in opposition to change of zone number 1670? Anyone on the commission have any questions?
I have a couple, Mr. Chairman, if I might.
Okay.
And I'm going back to the plus comments and back to the comments made earlier about the from the engineer about the number of residential units, and I note that in the plus comments for DLDOT, they were saying that they talked about the increase in commercial properties, but it was based on their understanding too that the number of housing units presently, when they first considered it, included 301 townhouses and 96 condominiums, and they commented that now they were looking at 247 townhouses possibly in the RPC and 72 duplex units. So That looks to me like what they were considering in terms of their traffic impact study and what they were reviewing was a change in residential units from 397 units to 319. So it concerns me that the information they were acting on may be vastly different than what may ultimately be shown for the RPC. Because here we're talking about in my quick math off the top of my head, about 78 different units. But yet I've been hearing testimony that there may not be any change in units. So that is a concern. So if someone wants to address that in terms of the traffic impact study.
I believe you are correct. With respect to the traffic impact study, I believe there was a reduction of about 70-some units. But also keep in mind the first traffic impact study only addressed 125,000 square feet of commercial. We added 25,000 without doing a TIS. We added this 150, so we actually addressed 175,000 more square feet of commercial, which would, you know, should offset any of those 70-some units. And the other thing is, with the townhouses, they generate about half as much as a single-family unit would. So, you know, this may not sound right from a lay perspective, but from a traffic engineer's perspective, 70-some units would not make a difference as far as intersection design for this site entrance, whether we're planning for a signal here. So this intersection site entrance and all the intersections in the study area are more than capable of handling that traffic.
But do you understand what my concerns that we're adding all this commercial space and perhaps not reducing any of the units at all?
Well,
do that. If they're taking land, they're taking land out of.
Maybe it wasn't built out completely at
capacity. Yeah, because what was the net difference?
What's the net difference?
Well, the difference is that we're going to take out 19, almost 20 unit, 20 acres. I'm going to oversimplify it, Mr. Johnson, but I think you and I are probably going to come out at the same place. You take out 20 acres and it's 4 units per acre, that's 80 units.
But maybe I heard wrong, but aren't you adding back in the area that was reserved for the sewer?
Yes.
Yeah, but that was also calculated in the density calculation when we did the RPC.
Okay, that's what I wasn't sure of, if that was originally calculated.
The sewer area was part of the density calculation when we did the original application.
Yeah, and that's what wasn't made clear to me originally. It sounded like that wasn't part of it. I don't know, and it just made the net difference.
No.
So what would be the remainder acreage in the rest of the RPC?
I have no idea what the number is, you know?
Yeah, I hold on.
It's 2,000 acres times 4. I mean, the one thing about density calculations, Mr. Johnson, it's absolute. You take the total perimeter and calculate the content times 4, and that's what it is.
That's why I'm interested in how much the remainder acreage is.
But Vince is right. That sewer area was part of that calculation when the original app went through in 2007. And calculated in the allowable number of units, whether townhouses or others, that were made in it. So when we say that the sewer plant's going and we're going to bring that back in, it means that the surface area available to put units on, but unit count max is still going to remain 4 times whatever.
74.13 acres.
75.
What's that, about
6? 300.
Yeah, 40, that's around 311.
Okay.
And that's subject to the scrutiny of the commission and review of a revised site plan.
That's only if you let them.
I understand that completely. But for the record, I'd like to know, and you provided it, what the remainder acreage was, because then we can do a simple calculation of what we might expect to see.
I think you and I travel on the same math trail. Yes. Keep it simple.
I'm trying.
Yeah.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Although the density that was approved actually was 3.11, is that right, from the previous? Of course, this would be a new application.
Actually. Yeah, because that's more than a site plan change, because you're changing the boundaries of the MRPC, so you're going to have to come in, I think, with a new ordinance for that MRPC.
I don't know, Mr. Robertson, because there is a process by which you can amend it without the necessity of a subsequent public hearing, and I have to... I know the section exists, but I don't ever work with it, and I'm sure you don't have much contact with it, but there is a way to do that.
But my really thinking comes is you change the boundaries of the.
Well, gentlemen, let's do one public hearing at a time. Let's do this one, and then you all can debate all you want about the other one. And
part two, anyway.
Yeah, but let's get through this. Let's get through this one here. Anything else, Mr. Johnson?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Anyone else on the commission other than Mr. Johnson have a question? There being none, let's close the public hearing. I invite you to remain with us for the rest of your Thursday evening to see if we make a decision, or you may wish to call the office in the morning.